right. Well, thank you for the folk instruments playing for us this afternoon. Give some more thought this afternoon to living a life of thanksgiving to the Lord. And what I want to do is go to the book of Psalms. And we're memorizing Psalm 1 in our afternoon service together. And we're going to get there because that's one of the Psalms we're going to reference. But I want you to start in Psalm 103 with me. Psalm 103. I want to speak to you this afternoon by looking through the Scriptures at these texts that have to do with blessing. There's a benefit to going to the Word of God and taking a theme of the Bible and following it through the book. And that's what we're going to do this afternoon for a little bit. We're going to look at the subject matter of blessing God by living blessed. By living in such a way that God says, I can bless that. God says there are things I will bless, which means there are things He won't bless. And in order to be experiencing the blessing of God and to be a testimony of blessing to God, which is another part of blessing, to bless the Lord and to be blessed by the Lord. Those things go hand in hand. Those things fit together. And I hope to show you that this afternoon. I'm starting with Psalm 103 to kind of lay the groundwork to think a little bit with you about this idea of blessing the Lord. And then we're going to turn to some other Psalms and see what the Lord has for us. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. So the Lord is the audience there. He's talking about his entire person there, his soul. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord. He's the audience. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You get that sense of counting your blessings, that sense of thanksgiving and contentment and gratitude. He goes on, verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You could put He forgiveth all iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. He, verse 4, redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Some of those themes from our morning service. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, which is an immeasurable distance, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's that idea of defiance. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. It's a testimony of believing people. They remember His commandments to do them. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Next verse, Psalm 104, says the same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. The idea of blessing the Lord appears 252 times in the Hebrew Bible. It's an action word. Verb. It calls us to action. It's a picture of a favorable relationship between the object and the subject. When we bless the Lord, we're We're speaking in terms of a favorable relationship between us and God. It has a threefold use in the Scriptures. First of all, it's used for God blessing humans. It's used for humans blessing God, and it's used for humans blessing humans. So there's a threefold use of this idea of blessing in the Old Testament. It's bestowing honor. Bestowing honor. It's communicated tangibly. To praise means to receive blessing, to live blessed, and to share that blessing. What I'd like to do is think about that a little bit with you this afternoon, and we come back to it as well next week. Let me just give this to you. It's a very simple statement, but I think it's one that fits with what we want to get across this afternoon, and that is Thanksgiving involves thanksgiving. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're enjoying the beginning of Thanksgiving week. We're anticipating opportunities to count our blessings and express our gratitude to the Lord this week. But I want to connect these two things together. To give thanks to the Lord involves living in a thankful way before the Lord. We bless God by living within the sphere of His blessing. What I mean by that is God tells us in His Word what He can bless and what He will bless. So we bless God, we praise God, by living within the sphere of His blessing, choosing what He has promised to bless. Our God is a great God, and our God is a God who has revealed Himself to us. I'm not sure if you've praised Him for that today, but I would encourage you that that would be a point of giving Him praise today and this week. God has revealed Himself to us. And because He has revealed Himself to us, He has told us, I will bless this. He has told us, I can't bless this. So God has not left us without an understanding of how to be recipients of His blessing. And at the same time, to live in such a way as to be a recipient of His blessing is to be a blessing to Him, to praise Him. And if we can keep those things connected, I think we then begin to understand what even Paul communicates in the book of Colossians when he talks about doing everything we do, how? Heartily what? As unto the Lord. As an act of worship and praise and blessing to God. By God's grace, we can make choices that He can bless. And that's why He tells us what He can bless. This doesn't diminish praise from our souls. We can be driving down the road and God impresses us with something. I'm not depreciating that, because our souls sometimes, even without saying anything, we're just rejoicing in the Lord. It doesn't depreciate verbal praise, where we say, praise You, Lord, like we did this morning, like we did this afternoon, where we tangibly and verbally communicate praise to Him. I'm not seeking to diminish praise within, or praise that is vocal, or praise that is corporate when we praise Him together. But to live out His praise, to live in a way that we know He can bless, I think it intensifies our thanksgiving, doesn't it? It authenticates our thanksgiving. Let me say it another way. Our lives match our lips. Our lives match our lips. What does it mean for me to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and to live in a way that doesn't praise the Lord? God spoke to this through Isaiah. Isaiah 29:13, we read, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near Me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor Me, but have removed their heart far from Me, and their fear or reverence toward Me is taught by the precepts of man. It says in verse 14, the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. What we're talking about is manufactured religion. What we're talking about is inconsistency. What we're talking about is hypocrisy. What we're talking about is irreverence. If we claim to be praising Him and we don't live for His praise. And so I want to encourage all of us that when our lives match our lips, now that's when we are indeed blessing God. When our practice matches our profession, where our conduct matches our claims, This is indeed what it means to bless the Lord. So we want to think about that and do so looking through the Psalms, just looking at those texts where we read about blessing. Thanksgiving involves thanks living. We bless God by living within the sphere of His blessing, choosing what He has promised to bless. And let me remind us all, whatever God has promised to bless, He what? He will bless. He will bless. Now, do you know the first five verses of Psalm 1? I know them as well, but I'm going to look. Because if I stutter around, it'll mess y'all up, won't it? Ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. One more verse there that we'll be working on for next week. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So if I take my Bible, which I did this week, and just begin to work through the book of Psalms and say, I want to mark where that word bless. I want to understand how I can live under God's blessing and thus bless Him. Where do I start? Right here in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That psalm that we're memorizing together basically is the thematic psalm for the book. Because as you make your way through the book, you and I look and see the things God blesses and the things God doesn't bless. We see the blessing of getting our counsel from the Lord, seeking to live our lives in a way that honors Him. So let's say it this way. We bless the Lord by, first of all, embracing His counsel as our guide for life. Blessing God by living blessed begins here. Embracing His counsel as our guide for life. So as you quoted that with me, and as you think about the pieces and parts of that psalm, you hear a very poetic, profound communication of the blessing of walking in the counsel of God. What is that blessing? Well, there's a picture of stability. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's a picture of stability, a picture of fruitfulness, right? There's blessing. I'm blessed because I'm following God's guidance for my life, and that gives stability to my life, that gives fruitfulness to my life. What happens when my life is stable and fruitful? Who gets blessed? God gets blessed. You see how that redounds to His praise, redounds to His blessing. It also speaks in terms of flourishing. It actually has the term prosperous, prospering spiritually. So embracing His counsel as our guide for life, that's how we bless Him. Stability, fruitfulness, flourishing, prospering spiritually. Turn over to Psalm 16. We'll move through these fairly quickly because my goal is to put this in front of you. My goal is to encourage you to think in terms of a way that we live our lives and experience a blessing of God and give blessing back to God. In Psalm number 16, we read these words, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. There's an expression of faith. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup, picture there, is blessing. A blessing. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen out unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel, my reins. That's a picture of our inner man, our conscience. Also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. We bless the Lord by embracing his counsel as our guide for life. I think we see that in those eight verses as well. Psalm 33. Psalm 16 talked about life choices that are governed by revealed truth. Life choices that are governed by revealed truth. Psalm 33, just the first three verses to start, and we'll move down to verse number 10. Verse 1 through 3 of Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Down in verse number 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. That's a shaky plane on which men build their lives. And on the other hand, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord, that stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So we have that idea of receiving and responding to God's counsel, and then we hear that pronouncement of blessing in verse number 12, belonging to the Lord in a particular way as his people. We bless the Lord by embracing his counsel as our guide for life, a pattern of life that anticipates direction from God. We pick up the Word of God each day, I hope you do. One of the reasons we do that is so that we can hear from him. The reason we want to hear from him is that so we'll know what he wants for us. And when we receive from him his counsel and we live in accord with that counsel, you know what he does? He blesses us. And when he's blessing us, guess what we are? We're a blessing. If we have responsibility to lead other people and we're leading in accord with God's word, guess what we are toward those people? We're a blessing to them. We are a blessing, a pattern of life that expects and anticipates direction given from God. Making life choices that are governed by revealed truth. It's a picture of living in his conscious presence. Well, let's go over to Psalm number 2 now. Go back to Psalm number 2. What I had to do when I was looking at these was I needed to see where the themes were. So we don't go exactly in order, because with Psalm 1 went Psalm 16 and Psalm 33. So now back to Psalm 2. Let's look at the second of these as we turn through the Psalms. Psalm number 2, I'm just going to look down in verses 11 and 12. We can't develop every psalm and get a sense of everything that's going on there. But verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 2, we read these words. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Look at this. You want to be a person that's blessed by God? You want to be a person that's a blessing to God, bringing praise to him? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The idea, the picture there, is taking refuge in him. When you take refuge in him, you're blessed. When you take refuge in him, you are satisfied. You are happy. So the second one, we bless the Lord by finding our security, we should say through or by trusting in him. God is blessed and blesses us as we find our security in him, as we trust in him. All of those who take refuge in him are happy. They're blessed, it says in verse 12 of Psalm number 2. Now, I have several others that go with this, and I wanted to show them to you so that you can see the consistency of it. The Word of God is like a hammer. A hammer breaks up things that need to be broken up, but I think a hammer also drives home things that need to be driven home. And I think You see that when you work through the Psalms. Psalm number 28, please. Psalm number 28. The second of these, we bless the Lord by finding our security through or by trusting in Him. God tells us what He can bless. Now, this is one of those passages that talks about the praise and blessing going to Him. Verse 6 of Psalm 28, we read these words, "Blessed be the Lord." Okay? "Because He hath heard my," He heard the voice of my supplications. Here's that idea of refuge. Here's that idea of security. "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Here's the faith. "My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed." Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. See the blessing going both ways? He's blessing the Lord in verse 6. He's part of the blessed people in verse 9. "Bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever." The next Psalm, 29, the last verse. Psalm 29, 11. Psalm 29, 11. "The Lord will give strength unto His people." Okay, as we go to Him, as we look to Him, as we take refuge in Him, as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him, the Lord will bless His people with peace. A faith people, that's who His people are. Living in covenant dependency upon Him. Let's see another one of these over in Psalm 34. All we're doing, working through the book of Psalms and stopping where we see this word, blessed or bless. Psalm number 34, I'm going to read the first three verses. Notice this, it's going toward the Lord this time again. "I will," David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise," or good thanksgiving, or we could put worship, "shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Here's the invitation extended to all of us. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And then verse number 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Here it is again. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." We say, how is it that I can be blessed by God? Well, simple answer here is by trusting in Him, by taking Him at His word, by believing Him, by having faith in what He has promised, by living in accord with the promises that He has made. Over to Psalm number 40. This one has the most references, which I think we understand, because faith is where the battle is, isn't it? Faith in our heart, believing God, trusting God, living in belief and trust in God. First four verses of Psalm 40. Another Psalm of David. David has these personal psalms that also are used for corporate worship. This is one of those, "To the chief musician," it says in the title there. Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, heard my cry." Listen to this. "He brought me up out of a horrible pit." This is what God does. "Out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going." Notice what else He did. "He hath put a new song in my mouth, fresh praise, even praise unto our God." David says, now look where it turns to praising the Lord. "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." There's our testimony. Then he turns right back to being a recipient of that blessing, where God blesses us. Verse 4, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies." Another testimony. We bless the Lord by finding our security through trusting in Him. Got one more, and that's over in Psalm 84. Hebrew hymn book, their Psalter, their songs, and start looking for this concept of blessing. This is the way we pick up the theme. Here's how we pick up what God can bless. Here's where we become very practical in our Christian life, because we get a sense of how we can live, which is what we want, how we can live under the blessing of God. Psalm 84, verses 4 and 5. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Down in verses 11 and 12, at the end of Psalm 84, he ends this way, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Boy, this sounds like blessing, doesn't it? "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Look at that testimony. O Lord of hosts, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." This is an approach to life that is Godward in its faith and its practice. We bless the Lord by embracing His counsel as our guide for life. We receive the instruction from Him. We bless the Lord by finding our security through trusting in Him. Third one, we bless the Lord. Let's see, I'm going backwards. Bless the Lord by one more. There we go. Living out our lives in righteous obedience. Now you see immediately that these are beginning to be woven together. We also know that what poetry does is repeats things in different ways. Brings repetition before us. You'll find some psalms that seem to be a partial duplication of another psalm. This is that idea of repeating those themes and getting those things in our hearts. Now we go all the way back to Psalm number 5. We bless the Lord by embracing His counsel as our guide for life, by finding our security through trusting in Him, and by living out our lives in righteous obedience. We've gotten the direction from Him in the first one there. We're exercising trust and faith in Him in the second one, and then here we're living that out. These are inseparable. Down in verses 10 through 12. Psalm 5, verse number 10. "Destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels, cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that," here it is, "put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord," here it is, "wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Now, as we gather here this afternoon, I would say for the most part, we're going to have a communication of the fact that we believe God, and that we want the blessing of God. We're going to say we believe the Word of God. We're going to say when it comes to salvation, we believe that God has revealed how we can become His children. And then we're going to say we believe that what God gave us is what we need. We believe the Word of God is sufficient to meet our needs. We believe that God gave us His Word that we might believe it and obey it. Well, let's take that further and make sure we finish and recognize that unless we hear it, believe it, obey it, we don't experience God's blessing. The point being, it does nothing for us or for God for us to nod our head in agreement with something He said. Because our life won't bless Him. It won't praise Him because our life hasn't been changed to reflect Him. And it won't benefit us to acknowledge it or give it lip service. Or say, we agree. There is absolutely nothing to saying, I agree with God. No, there is something to position ourselves to hear from God, to believe God, to obey God. At that point, we experience the blessing of God. So again, let me encourage you that these things are not concepts that are to be left as they are. God has told us what He will bless. And so, I think there's a very practical sense in which I could say to you, if I'm not experiencing God's blessing because of choices I'm making. And you read the same Bible I read, and who's God holding responsible for faith? And if you as a dad told your son, son, you do A, B, and C, and I can bless that, then the son can't say, I don't know what's expected of me. Neither can we. Nobody's going to stand before God and God give them an account. Right? And what we believe to be true about God is He has so revealed Himself that the issue is not me holding God accountable. It's the issue of, you know what, I'm not being responsible in obeying Him. And if I'm not experiencing God's blessing, it's because I'm not living as a person of faith. Otherwise, to me, none of this makes sense. Why have a whole book that tells me what God can bless if it doesn't have any tangible connection to my life? What's the point of it? And if God says I can bless it, then what am I saying about God if I doubt if He will bless it? And yet, when I'm receiving God's truth and embracing God's truth and living out God's truth, guess what I'm doing? I'm living a blessed life. So how do you know that, Mike? Because He said it. Are you sure? Only as sure as I am that this is the Word of God. It's part of our faith, isn't it? It's part of the strength. That's part of the stability that we read about in that first Psalm. Living out our lives in righteous obedience. A tone of life that seeks God's pleasure. That's what we're talking about in that one. A tone of life that seeks God's pleasure. That's what righteous living is. It's something that pleases God. When I live life in such a way as seeking God's pleasure, He blesses me and I bless Him. I'm a blessing to His name. Okay, Psalm 26. You're probably worried about whether we could do this in an afternoon service when you saw Psalm 1 to Psalm 100, didn't you? But we can. And I think there's benefit to something like this to get in front of us. Of course, I had to stop with Psalm 100 because we wouldn't get it done if we went to Psalm 150. I thought, well, this is helpful to me. This is what I'm looking for, Lord. I want to understand Your heart. And so I want it to be a blessing to you as well. We're in Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try the reins of my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons. Listen as the psalmist pleads. This is my life. I've sought to live a blessed life. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. There it is. Thanksgiving. And tell of all thy wondrous works. What is that? That's our praising Him. And the psalmist says that after he talks about how he's lived his life. Now he speaks in terms of praising the Lord, publishing a voice of thanksgiving, telling of His wondrous works. Lord, I have loved thy habitation, or the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I what? Bless the Lord. What does He say? He says, my life and my lips match. Lord, I have lived for Your pleasure. This psalmist is anticipating the blessing of God because of the way he lives his life. Now, what happens when we fail? What happens when we fail the Lord? Well, at that point in time, we have to, need to, must seek His forgiveness. Turn over a page, if you would, to Psalm 32. As we do fail Him, We don't always live in that integrity. We can't always go before God and say, Lord, I've done everything you've asked of me. I've sought to live righteously before you, because sometimes we fail him. What do we do then? Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 32. Here's another statement of blessing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Down in verse number 10 and 11 at the end of this psalm. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. There's the opposite of blessing. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Well, here's another way that we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord by seeking forgiveness and cleansing when we fail him. That blesses the Lord. Sought the Lord, was delivered by the Lord. It's a picture of a cycle of life that comes and confesses humbly before God. We bless the Lord by embracing his counsel as our guide for life. We bless the Lord as well by finding our security through trusting in him. We bless him by living out our lives in righteous obedience, those things that bring him pleasure, and he's told us what brings him pleasure. What happens when we fail, which we do? He knows that we are dust. Well, we bless him by seeking forgiveness and cleansing when we fail him. We bless him as well by choosing ceaseless praise as a way of life. Sorry about that one. Didn't make the screen, but choosing ceaseless praise as a way of life. We saw that in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the psalmist turns and says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Influencing other people to live their lives in praise to him. Psalm 66. Choosing ceaseless praise as a way of life. And this is a choice for us, because we don't always feel like it. We don't always understand. This is still what we're called to. Make a joyful noise, it says in verse 1 of 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Now verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise be heard. Choosing ceaseless praise is a way of life. Two psalms over, Psalm 68, one verse, verse number 19. And this we can look at each day and take time to thank the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 68 and verse number 19. What about verse 26? Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. Then the last verse of this psalm is verse 35. O God, speak again about his strength. The awesomeness of God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power. Look at that. He gives strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Let him be praised. Let him be blessed. One more, Psalm 89 here. This is a pulse of life. We've talked about a rhythm of life. We've spoken in those terms. A pulse of life, a rhythm of life that is choosing to praise him. We had that example in Job. As soon as Job suffered that great affliction, he fell on his face and worshiped the Lord. This is verse 15 and 16 of Psalm 89. Psalm 89, 15 and 16. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Last verse of the psalm, blessed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Now, if we were to take time to read the pieces and parts of these psalms, we're going to see woven together is blessing God by living a blessed life. This is not out there somewhere. It's all woven together. As we obey God, as we hear from God and obey God and please God, we live as a blessing to God as we are in the place of blessing from God. I don't think positionally I would ever choose to say God has failed me and not given me the direction that he should. But I think practically sometimes I do. Sometimes I reason myself into the idea that my failure or my confusion is on God's part, instead of stopping and recognizing, no, instead of just taking up the Word of God and embracing it by faith, I have tried to reason around the Word of God. And I found myself not in the place of blessing, but it wasn't because God failed to tell me what He could bless. And I think it's very important for us to understand, because I think otherwise we get this distance from God that God never intended. He is everything the Bible says He is, but He has stooped to tell us what He expects of us. And He has told us what He is willing to bless, and He has told us what He cannot bless. We bless the Lord by walking each day with a thirst to know Him more. Waking. I should be waking. Yes, you can put walking, but I have waking. So I think we're going to find waking in our text in Psalm number 63. Waking each day with a thirst to know Him more. Would you look with me to Psalm 63? We have just a few more references here. I'll count five references to get the last of these statements. Wanting to get enough in front of us that we can take with us and think about this and see the blessing of God nurturing our souls in the reality, not withholding from us anything, giving us everything we need, giving us sufficient guidance as to be the guide for our lives. Look at verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 63. O God, listen to David. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. That's a priority. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see, this is what I want to see. I want to see your power and your glory. So as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. See it going back to him? Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. There's blessing to us, right? As with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. That spiritual sustenance through communion with God. A couple of psalms over, Psalm number 65. Listen to this. Waking each day with a thirst to know Him more. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me for transgressions. Thou shalt purge them away. What a beautiful verse that is. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Bless the Lord by looking to him for his merciful intervention. Our Heavenly Father loves it when we come to him, recognizing that we need him. He's made us for that. He knows the place of blessing is full dependency upon him. Looking to him for merciful intervention. All the way back now to number 28. We've got a couple of one verses here, a couple of verses at least. There's a lot here for us to meditate on, but the statements are fairly simple. They're fairly straightforward. They're what a child can understand. They're given to us in such a way that God says, "No, no, Mike, I can bless this." And when you're living that way, you end up being a blessing, praising me. Psalm 28 and verse number 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The word supplication has to do with somebody coming to the end of themselves and recognizing their need. We bless the Lord and we look to him for his merciful intervention. He's not blessed when we say, "I got this." And, right? He's not blessed then. Because number one, we don't got this. But number two, that type of spirit is anything but a spirit God can bless. I need thee, right? Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Okay, Psalm number 31. Trying to be exhaustive, but not trying to exhaust you. So stay with me for two more scriptures, all right? I just wanted to get these things down on paper for us this Thanksgiving. Hopefully it'll be something we could take with us. Use in our lives. Verse 20 of Psalm 31. Listen to this. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Wow. From the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord. For he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, it wasn't true, was it? Thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and doeth and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. We bless the Lord by looking to him for his merciful intervention. Two more. We bless the Lord by anticipating fresh opportunities to magnify him. Looking for opportunities, anticipating opportunities. Things come our way that we didn't expect, but there's a predisposition set in our lives that we're here for his honor and glory. We want nothing less than to bless him. Sometimes those circumstances are not welcomed. And that's where it's very important that we are committed to magnifying him and blessing him. Lord, I don't understand. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't expecting this. But Lord, I want to honor you in this. Psalm 96, I will sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Calling us to sing, praise him. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Verse 2, Psalm 96. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Put Him on display. Declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But, that being the case, look at this. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. We bless the Lord by anticipating fresh opportunities to magnify Him. A mission in life to share Him with others. And then our last psalm is Psalm 100, one you're familiar with. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Here's the theme of this week. Enter into His gates, place where we worship Him with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and here's our word, and bless His name. Psalmist says, because the Lord is good, because His mercy is everlasting, because His truth endureth to all generations. We bless the Lord by gathering before Him with others to declare His goodness. The choir started our morning with that song, reminding us of the goodness of the Lord, a joy of life that exalts Him and edifies other people. Christianity has never been a private thing. God never in His Word indicates just me and God. No. That is not what God has for us. It's a picture here in Psalm 100 of gathering before Him with others and declaring His goodness, a life of joy that exalts Him and edifies other people. This is the fulfilling life that the Lord has for us. If you're not actively praising the Lord, there's your problem. Because He made you for that, and He redeemed you for that. He brought us back to Himself so that we could live blessed lives. So we bless the Lord by embracing His counsel as our guide for life. There's the beginning place in Psalm 1. We find by finding our security through trusting in Him. By living out our lives in righteous obedience, those things that please Him. By seeking forgiveness and cleansing when we fail Him, because we don't always live out our lives in righteous obedience. We bless Him and praise Him by choosing ceaseless praise as a way of life. By walking each day with a thirst to know Him more. And sometimes we don't have that thirst. Well, then let's nurture that. Let's get back in the Word of God. Let's talk to the Lord about that. Lord, I'm not hungering and thirsting for You as You would desire. By looking to Him for His merciful intervention, instead of thinking we can do it on our own. By anticipating fresh opportunities to magnify Him. And by gathering before Him with others to declare His goodness. This is good. This is good Thanksgiving truth. This is truth that we can take to heart. Truth that we can take with us, truth that we can go back and keep referring to, truth that we can look for as we follow those references in the book of Psalms that talk about God's blessing. As we live in such a way as God has communicated that He can bless, then our life ends up being a blessing to Him. That's where you and I will find fulfillment and satisfaction. Father, we don't know all the details even of the coming week. We do know that You've spoken. We do know that You've communicated Your heart. Unlike the gods that man makes that cannot communicate anything, mouths that cannot speak, eyes that cannot see, cannot have a relationship with anyone, You are not that God. You are not a far away being, although You are high above us as our Creator. want to communicate our praise and love to you this afternoon that you have spoken to us. You're not only the God that is, but you are the God that has communicated your heart. You haven't left us to figure it out. Forgive us for drifting through life as if we're trying to figure it out. Help us to embrace what you have revealed. Help us to be blessed by living our lives as you teach us to, and be a blessing to you and others in doing so. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.